Thy Indignation Came, by W.B. Screws. The Pilgrim's Messenger. Have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. -11 Timothy 1:13. Published monthly by W.B. Screws, Glenville, Georgia. 25 cents a year. Volume XXI. September, 1941. Number 2. Entered at the post office at Glenville, Ga. As second class matter. We are thanking thee, Lord God Almighty, who art and who wast, seeing that thou hast taken thy great power and dost reign. And the nations are angered, and thy indignation came, and the era for the dead to be judged, and to give wages to thy slaves, the prophets, and to the saints, and to those who are fearing thy name, the shall and the great, and to blight those who are blighting the earth, UN. 11:17-18. The abbreviation, UN, means the unveiling, which is the correct title of the last book of the Bible. It is not the revelation of St. John the Divine. The title given to the book by the Holy Spirit is The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, see chapter 1, verse 1. In reading this, and other issues of the Messenger, let the reader remember the meaning of UN. Our study covers a period of 42 months, or 3.5 years. That period is in the early part of the day of the Lord. In spirit, John came to be in the Lord's day, in order to be given the visions necessary to the writing of the book, 1:10. The Lord's day is not present now, nor will it be, until after the man of lawlessness is unveiled, 2 Thess. 2. In this portion of the book, UN, the world dictator, of whom I have been writing in recent issues, appears as a rider on a white horse, conquering and ready to conquer. This may be called the political section of the book. Immediately following our text, we have what may be called the religious section, conquering the same period of time, from another angle. There the dictator is shown as the wild beast. Our present study, however, is concerned with him and his political activities. In chapters 6 and 7 we have a bird's eye view of the entire period. The rider of the white horse is followed by a symbolic description of war, famine, death and desolation. We should not think that there will be a confederation of all nations ready for the dictator to rule peacefully. He, the Assyrian, will come on the scene with a smaller confederation. How long the period of peace which follows the present conflict will last, no one can tell. The dictator will begin to conquer other nations, and continue throughout the affliction period. According to Dan 11, the last nation to be conquered will be Egypt. This will mean the repetition of the present conflict, causing famine and desolation, greater than the earth has ever known. This is in chapter 6. There is even a strong hint of the suffering of the Jewish saints during that period, for, in a vision, their souls are heard crying for vengeance. In chapter 7, however, we are assured that not all Israel will be either conquered or killed. We see the 144,000, and the great multitude. That the former are Israelites is plainly stated. That the latter are, also, is seen by the fact that they have palms in their hands, showing that they are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, Lev. 23:40. This period is not only one during which man shall cause great desolation. It is a time when God, Himself, shall be pouring out His indignation on mankind. Chapters 8-11 show the same period, as God will afflict the people. The cause of the indignation is explained in 9:20-21. Mankind will have been worshipping demons and idols of gold and silver and copper and stone and wood, which are not able to be observing nor to be hearing nor to be walking. They will be guilty of murders, enchantments, prostitution and thefts. Men do those things now, but the conciliation fends them from indignation. No doubt some who are living today will be in the indignation period. There is no reason to believe that period is very far away. It cannot come, however, while the saints of the body of Christ are here, for we shall be saved from the indignation through Christ, Rome 5:9. The article the is in that verse, and should be in the rendering. How near must be that blessed day when the Lord shall descend from heaven to snatch us away for meeting him in the air. Ephes 4:13-18. There is reason to say that much of the affliction which God sends during that period is in answer to the prayers of the saints. The direct proof that God is going to answer those prayers is furnished by thunders and voices and lightnings and an earthquake, 8:3-5. These come on the earth as God's notice to mankind that he hears the pleadings of his saints, their victims. These, of course, are saints of Israel, for in that period God is dealing again with his earthly people, having completed the ecclesia which is his body, Rome 11:25. God's indignation is shown in the following ways. He sends hail and fire, mixed with blood, and a third of the trees and all the green grass are burned up. A huge mountain burning with fire is cast into the sea, and a third of the sea becomes blood. A third of the sea becomes blood. A third of the sea creatures die. And a third of the ships decay. A burning star falls to the earth, and it poisons a third of the rivers and springs, and many of mankind die. A third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars are eclipsed. A star falls to the earth. This is a personage, for a key is given to him and he opens the well of the abyss, the west subterranean region. Smoke comes out of the well, darkening the sun and the air. Out of the smoke come locusts, having the appearance of horses. They afflict mankind for a period of 5 months. So great will be the pain of their sting that men will seek to die, but God sends yet another affliction. They are not allowed to die, but must live to endure their misery. These locusts have a king over them, the destroyer. He is called Abaddon in Hebrew, but his Greek name is Apollyon. 200 million cavalrymen in the region of the Euphrates River will be loosed, and they will kill a third of mankind. Who knows but these are the terrible, almost wild Arabs? This could well be so, since the dictator himself will probably be of that nation. He will be one whose gathers have worshipped the true God, Dan.11. And this description is not used of any except a descendant of Abraham. The Arabs are descended from the patriarch through Ishmael, whom God promised to make a great nation. These cavalrymen are made ready for a certain day of a certain month of a certain year. The dictator thinks he is loosing them. God is doing it. It will be the most terrible army that ever tore across our land, murdering and devastating as they go. Since God will be allowing Satan to have full sway, the horsed will be the most unusual creatures that ever carried soldiers to the field of battle. Their heads are like those of lions. Fire and fumes and sulfur are issuing from their nostrils. They have tails like serpents. In our study we are nearing the end of the period of indignation, but John is caused to swallow a small book, indicating that the vision is not yet done. He must yet prophesy as to peoples and nations and languages and many kings, 10:11. This causes both sweet and bitterness. The reason is evident as we continue beyond chapter 11. True to the political character of this section, the temple and altar are measured. This is indicative of the fact of a transfer of ownership from the nations to Israel. Our text brings us to the close of the indignation period. The dictator has labored 3.5 years to accomplish a worldwide confederation of nations for his own use. No sooner does he succeed than the world kingdom becomes our Lord's and his Christ, 11:15. This immediately follows the killing and the rousing of the two witnesses in Jerusalem. God's indignation came and accomplished its purpose. He is now ready to judge the dead, and to give wages to the prophets and saints. This is the former resurrection, and shall follow our resurrection by a few years. But we now start on the religious section, and cover the same ground, viewing the indignation period as it relates to Israel. A detailed treatise of this must wait. But I must mention that the dictator now appears as the wild beast, demanding worship. This he has been doing all the while, but it was not proper to mention it in the political section. We see God's covenant brought to view. He will remember His covenant with Israel. But also the temple of the testimony the law is opened. Not only will God deal in grace with the chosen in Israel, He will also deal in indignation with the apostates of the nation. These are found in the magnificent city of Babylon. Hence, its fall. Now, back to the political section. I am indebted to Miss Marion Pohl of Worcester, Mass. for the information given here. Those who have had occasion to study astronomy tell us that a conjunction, or several conjunctions, of the planets, Saturn and Jupiter, is always indicative of an impending change that will affect the world. These planets, they say, were in conjunction just before the deluge in Noah's day, just before the birth of Moses, for 9 months before the birth of Christ, just preceding the birth of Martin Luther, and just before General Allenby marched into Jerusalem in 1917, and took the city from the Turks. These planets have been in conjunction last year and this year, in view of the fact that the heavens do rule, Dan. 4:26, I see no reason to doubt this testimony of the scientists. What can be the meaning of the recent conjunctions? Do they tell us of an impending change in world affairs? If so, what can it be, but the coming of the indignation period, and the rule of the dictator? Matters seem to be ripe for just such an occurrence. I wonder if anyone seriously believes that any nation will come out of the present world conflict able to continue its course. Bankruptcy awaits the world, as sure as night follows day. Democracy will be destroyed. I have been told that even now, there is a descendant of Abraham through Ishmael, waiting in the fastness of the mountains of old Assyria, and that he has already said he will rule the world after the present leaders have worn themselves out fighting. This may be true. I am concerned with politics, only as their development show me that the time cannot be far away, when I shall arise to meet my Lord in the air. Why should I not rejoice at the prospect? Think what it will mean to me in the matter of the removal of all limitations, and preparation for perfect service. I am expecting great happiness in heaven happiness greater by far, than tongue or pen can describe. This happiness will be found in giving, rather than in getting. What a glorious ministry will be mine then. Nor is it for me, alone. It is for every member of the body of Christ. I praise God that the time for entering into this glorious ministry seems to be very near. In the August issue, page 2, column 1, lines 20 and 21, Southeastern Asia should be Southwestern Asia. Please note the correction. Corrected, return to main index page